Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, let me grab the headphones. I'll get dialed into the studio. Get these dogs to shut up. Oh, goodness. I better close the window or the neighbors are going to get mad. Hope the guests call in tonight. I wonder if anybody's going to call in. Well, let's do this thing.
It's Rated G Radio, and this is your host, Garrett Miller.
Hey, everybody, get ready to get well this October and this winter. We're going to have Dr. Shannon Connor on the line in just a second, giving us all of the things that we need to know about flu, flu prevention, wellness, and all the things that are going to make you feel great this holiday season. But before we get to Dr. Connor, I just want to remind everybody, tomorrow's Friday night dance party is at a special early start time at 4 p.m. That will be with Dan Ostiak and his daughter, Adara. They comprise the father-daughter duo Siren, and they're based out of Phoenix, Arizona, and are hitting the big time with their new EP. We're going to be playing some of Dan's original music and having a great time from 4 to 5 with him, and the second hour will be listener requests. So if you have something in mind that you want to hear to get your weekend started off on the right foot, make sure to send me a note on Facebook, email, or just be live on the show, and that's all cool. So without further ado, so we can get as much fun as we possibly can squeeze out of 60 minutes into 59, Dr. Connor, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here again.
Well, I'll tell you, after last month's conversation that we had, everybody was like, when can we get Dr. Connor back? When can we get Dr. Connor back? So I'm really grateful that you've taken time out of your schedule, because I know you have about 3 trillion things on your plate every day, and just having you share your information and wealth of knowledge is always appreciated. So thanks for taking time out of your day today.
My pleasure. It's great to talk with you and educate people. I think it's really important.
Well, and especially as we get towards this time of year, we were just talking the other day about things that are coming up, and we got to talking very briefly about flu and cold season, and I know that's something that you're very passionate about as far as ideas and things to make sure people stay healthy, and I was hoping you might take some time tonight and talk to the listeners about that.
Yeah, I think it's a really great topic to discuss, especially with Ebola and the fear and all that going around right now, as far as what do we need to do to protect ourselves? What do we need to do to keep ourselves healthy? And there's a lot of misinformation out there, and I think, people need to do research. They need to figure out what's really going on, because we can be often scared by the media and just a lot of false information to have us do certain things that may or may not be beneficial to our health.
Well, I was watching something on Facebook earlier, and we also had an address by the President of the United States saying, we've got 3 out of 380 million people that have been impacted by Ebola at this point. So this is, by no means a cause to get up in arms, and that getting Ebola is really, really a hard thing to try to catch or get. And so the chances of you getting it outside of the immediate areas where this has taken place are slim to none. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, I can't say I know enough about the way, the transmission is, because that's kind of unclear to some degree. But mm-hmm. I can say that if we only have 2 or 3 people in the whole U.S. that has it, how many people die a day of over-prescription or a reaction to prescription medications, or from, vaccinations, or from the flu shot. there's a lot of people that are, the people, for a lot of other reasons, are dying. And it's horrible. That's what's happened to the families of the 2 or 3 people, and the people, obviously, that passed away. But, we're looking at the wrong target. What it comes down to as well, you can walk into a room and there can be one person sick with the flu and 10 people in the room, and one other person may contract the flu, but 9 others won't. And you have to ask yourself the question, well, why do 9 people stay healthy and one person gets sick? And what you have to look at is the immune system. How healthy is your immune system, and what can we do to boost our immune system? So we're entering into, you know, I just celebrated Canadian Thanksgiving this last weekend. It was on Monday, actually, this week. And so we start into the whole eating and drinking and, you know, let's be merry, it's the holidays. And I think in America, it kicks off with Halloween. And when you really start to see an increase in kids getting the flu or adults getting the flu is right around Halloween. Well, what's going on is as we start eating a lot of white sugar. 1 teaspoon of white sugar will suppress and paralyze our immune system for 2 hours. So,
wow.
You know, when we look at the diets of what these kids are eating nowadays, it's atrocious. You know, they're raised on white flour, white sugar, you know, artificial this, artificial that. They're drinking soft drinks, you know. And so we have to look at what are we doing to ourselves to suppress our immune system. So the white sugar is a huge, huge factor. So right away we're paralyzing the immune system. The weather changes. We've got changes in the environment, you know, rainy season. And mm-hmm. so, you know, we start, you know, we may get a little, feeling a little off. And then when you're around a bunch of people that are ill, the body's going to get bombarded with bacteria and viruses. But that's every day. We walk around every day. We're breathing in different things. But the question becomes, well, why don't we always get sick? Well, if our immune system is strong and we're not weakening it with different things, and people don't realize, how do I weaken my immune system? What could I possibly do? Well, 87% of your immune system is actually your GI, your gut. So if you've had even one round of antibiotics in your life, you've wiped out your immune system. Because antibiotics, they go in and kill the bad guys, but they also kill the good guys. So most people don't understand that we need good bacteria in our body, good bacteria in our gut, in order to basically eat up the bad guys that come in. So if we don't have our first line of defense there, then we get exposed to things, and then we're having white sugar, which paralyzes the immune system. Of course, your immune system's going to freeze up, and you're not going to be able to fight off different infections. And that's where, you know, different things can actually take host in the body and start multiplying.
Wow.
But that's like parasites. Parasites live off a host. Somebody asked me the other day about it's called Helminth therapy. And I said, worm therapy? And he said, yeah. And he said, they found that in third world countries, people that have hookworms, which are a worm that burrows into your foot and then into your body, the female worm will lay 30,000 eggs a day. But she secretes some kind of chemical because in order for her to live, she has to keep you alive. So she secretes some kind of chemical that has an effect where basically you won't have allergic reactions. So whatever the worm is doing to try to stay alive is secreting a substance in the body that actually will help with allergies. And I said, well, you know, there are other ways, especially in this country. We don't have to, like, infest ourselves with worms and then, you know, hope to handle an allergy problem. But the same idea is that, you know, once that thing gets planted in the body and starts going crazy, it's living off of you and it's thriving off of you. It's going to keep you alive because it needs to stay alive. But, you know, it's the same thing when we get exposed to viruses and bacteria. When they start taking over and start getting an upper leg on you, that's when you get sick. So what do we have to do to protect ourselves from that? That becomes the question.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, you know, we're just a gluttonous society. We love the holidays. You know, I never understood it because, you know, I'm from Canada, and we have Thanksgiving. It's the second Monday of October, and then we really don't get into the, quote, holiday season until probably a week or two before Christmas. But here, our holiday season, I mean, really, we kind of start with Halloween and carry on to Thanksgiving, and then away we go into Christmas or Hanukkah and then off to New Year's. Well, I can understand why you put on 10 to 15 pounds. You get 2.5 months of eating, right?
Exactly.
It's easy to pack on the weight during that time. But, you know, it's just we eat completely different during the holidays. And we look at it as a season. It's like months. It's months of partying.
Which is
really,
crazy.
Right. And, you know, food can be a poison and it also can be medicine. It's just depending on what kind of, what you're putting in and how your body's taking it in and handling it.
I've got a question for you. You mentioned before
sure.
that a lot of your defense system for your immune capacity is located in your gut and your intestine.
Right. Yep.
So, okay, I guess the big question is how come nobody tells us this? And, you know, it sounds like I'm hearing it for the first time. I know I kind of heard it the other day, but I'll just say this is the first time I'm really hearing about this, other than like a Jamie Lee Curtis yogurt commercial or something like that. And that doesn't really talk about anything except going to
right.
the bathroom on a regular basis. So why is it that we're seeing, you know, just continued ads for this pill and that pill and everything else when, you know, you have a much different approach on how you think people can stay healthy?
Well, health comes from inside out,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think in America, we're used to battling something from the outside in. So it's a completely different mentality. But really, healing comes from within. You know, nobody's going to heal you. Your body heals itself. So what happens is that you have to start looking at, okay, when someone has a problem, what is actually going wrong? What's going wrong internally? Why is the body does not have the ability to self-heal and self-repair? So, you know, I work with the nervous system, the brain and the spinal cord, so we always get that straightened out first because your circuitry board has to be working correctly. Secondly, biochemically, if things are off, which for most people they are because we're so used to taking something from the outside, putting it in, but is that fixing the problem or is it just covering a symptom?
Mm.
So as soon as you take antibiotics, most people know after they take antibiotics, they have a lot of intestinal issues. They're feeling gassy and bloated afterwards. They're just not right. They tend to, you know, I see this a lot with females with urinary tract infections. You know, they'll take antibiotics for that. It'll wipe it out. But then if you don't kill off all the bacteria, the bad bacteria, it starts coming back, and it comes back a lot worse. And so, you know, these bugs actually are getting, we call them the super bugs, they're getting smarter and smarter, and they're morphing into stronger and stronger bugs, and that's why the antibiotics are so strong right now, because it's like nature has an intelligence of its own. And, you know, I don't want to go up against Mother Nature. Every time man thinks they're smarter than Mother Nature, we typically lose, right?
Absolutely.
We do that all
yeah.
the time. So what we have to look at is, okay, well, what do we need to do? How do we get more, I guess, in harmony with the body and give it what it needs naturally? So, you know, it's been my experience that, you know, antibiotics can be extremely effective, especially if someone's very ill, and sometimes they're absolutely necessary and life-saving. But a lot of the times they're overprescribed. You know, if you go to a doctor and they don't know what's wrong with you and they prescribe an antibiotic right away and it could be viral, that antibiotic is not going to be effective and you will get well in the same amount of time. It might take longer because, you know, with an antibiotic, if you don't have a bacterial infection and it is a viral infection, now you're wiping out your part of your immune system. You know, that particular bug can actually stay in your body longer.
And
if you haven't had a culture done and you don't even know what the organism is, you know, just throwing an antibiotic at it, it will work if it's bacterial, but it will not work if it's viral.
And that's one of the things that, and I'm just going to be honest, you know, back in my pill popping days, meaning, you know, I just go to the doctor and say, I'm here for my 3 minutes of time with you. Okay, can you write me a prescription and I'll be on my way.
Right.
If I didn't get a prescription going into my doctor's office 20 years ago, I was like, what did I waste my time coming in here for? Because I need a pill. And,
right.
you know, I think sometimes I'm just going to be honest. I think sometimes my doctor just wrote me a prescription for amoxicillin or whatever because it would get me out of the office, not because it was actually going to do anything. And it wasn't until years later I had a naturopathic doctor say, you know, I can help you, but if I give you a prescription for this or that, that's not going to fix anything. It's just going to give you a pill to take a pill, just like mm-hmm. you were, you know, describing right now. And I think a lot of folks really are so inundated by the advertising on TV that if they say, take this little purple pill or take this little orange pill and don't stop taking it because you could have a stroke, you know, they're like, I have to have the pill because, you know, it's on TV and I need to be, you know, cool or whatever. I think
but
we have such bad programming.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the side effects of what you're trying to accomplish usually is a side effect of the medication a lot of the times.
Yeah.
I'm going to take this to prevent stroke, but at the same time, it may cause stroke.
It may cause stroke,
yeah. That's
what
you listen
to
when they go through the side effects, right?
Isn't that just – I just don't get that. Well, I mean, I know they're there to make a lot of money, and they advertise all the time, so they clearly do that. But I don't want to get off track. But, the fact that I think a lot of us get programmed to think that we have to have a pill when, like you were saying, if it's going to be a viral infection and they're giving you something to treat a bacterial, it's not going to do anything and, in fact,
right.
can do other stuff along the way. And that's a message that a lot of us don't want to hear. We think we need that magic pill, so hurry up and write a script.
Right, and you know, there's other ways to handle it. I said that there is a time and place for antibiotics, but the thing is that if you do use them afterwards, what are you doing to then build up the good bacteria in your body?
Mm-hmm.
And taking a yogurt isn't going to do it. I can tell you that, because the amount of bacteria in that good bacteria in that yogurt just isn't in a high enough amount. And you need to do other things other than take just good bacteria, because you have to kind of reestablish the lining of the gut.
And that just sounds so disgusting and gross, but, I mean, that's what you have to do.
Yeah, because, they know with science, there's all kinds of things as far as natural flora of the gut and what needs to be there. And so, you know, you just have to re-nourish it with the things that it's missing. And so, you know, obviously good bacteria, putting that back in. But, you know, Mother Nature provides us a lot of different things that help with the immune system. I mean, oil of oregano, to me, is just one of the most magical things out there. It kills bacteria, viruses, parasites, fungus, molds, you know. And then magically, it doesn't actually harm the good bacteria in your body. And I have no idea, but, you know, I think... I'll trust God to make better choices than man, typically. I definitely know that that's something that people can take that will knock things out of their, you know, knock the bad guys out and not harm the good guys in the body.
Is oil, okay, dumb question of the night, is oil of oregano like an essential oil, or is it an oil you get at like the health food store, or do you get it at Fry's or Vons?
Yeah, you typically have to get it at a health food store from a practitioner. There's different strengths of it. So,
okay.
You know, if you were to go over and you need Mediterranean oil of oregano, you know, because a lot of the stuff, if it's not from there, it doesn't have all the different healing properties. You know, and when you think about it, it's just food. Like if you put something in your body that nurtures it and heals it and doesn't have like a side effect where it has to be filtered through the liver, you know, you're much better off at putting something like that in the body. But the oregano grown in the U.S. does not have the same medicinal properties as from Europe.
Oh, very cool. Hey, I have a quick question for you. Have a caller on the line that would like to ask a question. Would now be a good
sure.
time to maybe bring the caller on? And if you are listening tonight and we are live from 728 Pacific Standard Time, you can call in at 323-657-1493 and ask Dr. Shannon Connor a question tonight. So, Michael, you are now on the line with Dr. Connor. Welcome to the show.
Okay. Hello, Doctor.
Hi.
Hi. I was listening to your discussion with Garrett earlier about the fact that I think you said 87% of your immune system is in your gut.
Right.
And did I understand that correctly?
Correct.
Okay. My question, I guess, is that back when I was 25 years old in 1990, I had to have emergency exploratory surgery to my abdomen. And I guess from what I understand from the doctors, what they told me at the time was if I had not come in, I would have been dead within a week because there was some type of bacterial infection that had taken over every organ that I had in my abdominal cavity. And so they treated it. And at the same time, while they had me open, they also removed my appendix. They never did tell me if that burst and if that caused the infection or what. And then the other thing that I'm puzzled about is nothing like that has ever happened again in my life. You know, now I'm 49, and nothing even close to that has ever happened again. I mean, I'm grateful for that, but I don't know what I did back at that time to initiate that. And I remember though that I walked into the hospital, and normally, I don't know how it is in anywhere else, but it would say on the hospital there's usually all sorts of forms to fill out and what have you. And I just walked in, and they got me right in there right away because they said that they could tell something was wrong because my coloring was like the color of fried eggs or something in my face. And then they took tests, and sure enough, my white blood cell count was, you know, 40,000 times what it should have been. And so, you know, they said, okay, we were going to have to do exploratory surgery. I think it was like in the wee hours of the morning. But I was out of the hospital in 4 days. I recovered, and I've never had any problems since then. But I'm still at a loss as to figure out why it never happened again.
Okay, well, so they didn't actually tell you what happened?
All they told me was that there was some type of severe bacterial infection. They didn't tell me what the cause was. They didn't tell me what I could do to prevent it. They just said, this is the way it is. And they treated it with antibiotics,
right.
And then it was over. The situation was done. And like I say, I've never had anything that severe happen to me ever again. And the only other time I've been to the hospital is when I lacerated my left leg, but there's never been any more bacterial infections. So, you know, I don't know what prompted that to begin with.
Typically what happens, now, if your appendix bursts, your appendix is a lymph organ. It's not just some remnant thing that's there for no reason. I don't think anything's put in the body without a reason. So where the appendix sits is where the small intestine meets the large intestine. And it's actually the dirtiest area of the body. There's a valve that goes from the small intestine to the large intestine. And so as far as the large intestine is the colon. So what happens is that a lot of things can actually build up right around where the appendix is, as far as that's a good area where you can get parasitic infection or bacterial infection if your body isn't, you know, if you're not evacuating properly. And so you can get buildup there, and that's where a lot of bacterial infections happen. And so if there is an issue with parasites, or there is an issue with, you know, bacteria because someone's been constipated for different, you know, long periods of time, that's typically what you're going to see. And then the appendix can get inflamed. And then you can get that whole, you know, if the appendix bursts, or, you know, you can get that infection going through the whole GI system. And then, of course, you know, antibiotics are absolutely necessary at that point. You know, I mean, because you don't want infection moving through your whole gut.
Right.
I mean, so, you know, of course, then they have to go in and, you know, remove the inflamed organ, and, you know, because it can become infected itself. And you know, a lot of times people will actually lose part of their gut. You know, they'll lose part of their small intestine or large intestine because there is infection that occurs there. So chances are something was going on prior to that. You may have been constipated. There might have been, you know, something, or I don't know. But, you know, obviously they handled it, and, you know, that's where emergency medicine is just brilliant.
Right. Yeah, and, I'm grateful that nothing like that has ever happened again, but, you know, especially when you putting into perspective what you said about, you know, that part of your body is pretty vital. If it's 88% of your immune system is there, that's pretty heavy-duty stuff. So,
yeah.
So I guess another thing I wanted to say was thank you for reinforcing what you said about the white sugar and watching that intake, because, you know, I try to steer away from that anyway, but it's nice to get that reinforced. So thank you very much for explaining, talking about that.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
Michael,
thanks.
Thanks for your call. I'm going to put you back on hold, Michael, so you can listen to the rest of the show. But thanks for your call.
Thanks.
Go ahead, Doctor.
Yeah, you know, and that's what people don't think about also is alcohol, how much sugar is in alcohol. You know, and everybody drinks a little bit more during the holidays, you know. And that suppresses the immune system. And it's also hard on the liver, too. So, again, now we're like, we're crashing different systems in the body, and then we wonder why we're not feeling good.
Yeah, how come I'm not feeling? You know, one of the things that I thought was really interesting that you shared with me a while back is one of the things that you do during the holidays, and that's go on a fast.
Yeah. Yeah, I like to do that in between because then, you know, I mean, I love good food, you know, and then there's always people bringing in cookies and cakes and all kinds of yummy things. And if it's there, I eat it.
Is that right?
So it's more of a monitor for me where I like to, you know, I like to do, I juice, I will do a fast, I will do different things, you know, in between Thanksgiving and Christmas so that I keep it under control. Because I don't think there's anything wrong with indulging, but it's indulging all the time for 6 or 8 weeks. That's where it becomes a big problem. So, you know, if you can keep it under control and, you know, I just, it's kind of like you have to play those games with yourself. Like, what are you willing to do? You know, because most people don't lose weight during the holidays, you know, and I'm, you know, I'd like to keep it either the same or maybe lose a couple pounds just by being extra careful with what I'm putting in as opposed to just going off the rails.
Well, and then you start out the new year, and you're like, I'm already at my goal weight, or I'm already at a healthy weight, and I feel good about myself, and it's not like, oh,
yeah,
I've got the uphill battle of the next 6 months to get rid of these 10 pounds that I just put on in 6 weeks.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is, I guess when you're used to feeling good, and, you know what good food feels like in your body when you have a healthy meal and you feel nourished as opposed to when you overindulge and you just feel awful and you get that food coma, like we always get that over Thanksgiving, right? You start becoming unconscious. Like it just, then it just becomes almost like a habit. Like, oh, if I just do this or that. That's why everybody's motivated January 1st. Like, okay, let's ring in the new year. I always do a talk. I always do a detox talk in January because people are actually motivated. But most people are motivated by pain or uncomfortableness before they actually do anything. And I just don't see the, you know, it's kind of insane to go, okay, well, I know I'm going to make myself uncomfortable in my body. I'm going to have fun, and I'm going to feel
right,
uncomfortable, and then I'll do something about it in January. Well, how about we just modify during the holiday season and, you know, make different choices? Because, again, you can eat well, you can have fun, but you just you don't want to do it for 8 weeks.
You don't need to eat the whole apple pie at the Thanksgiving dinner. So what do you do on your fast and juices and stuff like that? What are some of your favorite either recipes or things that you find helpful for you?
Okay. Well, yeah, what I like to do is green juices, you know, because, again, I don't want a lot of sugar regardless of what it is. I mean, sugar from fruit isn't harmful like white sugar or fructose. But still, you know, I like to stay, you know, keep that sugar craving low. I like to do, you know, I'll do a green juice with kale and cucumber and spinach and, you know, celery. And I'll add apple to it to add some sweetness, but then I'll also put some lemon. But greens are great because the minerals from the greens, they help transport toxins out of your body. So it helps to, you know, if you are doing things that are, you know, counterproductive, it helps to get the stuff out of you fast enough. And then drinking a lot of fluid, drinking a lot of water. And when I say fluid, I don't mean tea and I don't mean coffee and I don't mean soda. I had a girlfriend when I said, you know, she would tell me, oh, I drink eight glasses of water a day. And she meant, you know, diet soda. And
yeah,
I was like, that's insane. You have no idea what you're doing to yourself with the diet stuff. But anyway, the point is it has to be water. It has to, you know, you have to be able, the body has to be able to absorb it and actually utilize it in order to transport things out. A lot of people are dehydrated. They don't even know it, and they're dehydrated. They're tired, and they think, you know, they don't know they're dehydrated. Just by drinking enough water, you actually can feel better. So getting greens in, getting water in. I don't typically just go on a like a complete juice fast, but I might do a day where I just do juice, especially if like after the day after Thanksgiving, I may do a day of just juice, you know, and let my body kind of settle down, because I do enjoy a good turkey dinner, and I, you know, I do enjoy pumpkin pie. So, you know, I'm going to do it, but the next day I'm also going to do some things to counter what I did the day before.
Very good. Hey, on the question on the green drink that you're talking about, do you make this yourself, and what's your thought about the green drinks that you can buy in the stores?
Yeah, so I have a juicer. Good juice rots within 24 hours. It has the enzyme. When you juice, you actually are putting the, you know, the fruit or the vegetable into the juicer. It breaks open the cells, and that's where you get all the nutrition. Fresh juice gets absorbed right from the stomach into the bloodstream, so there's minimal digestion that occurs that needs to occur, and that's why it's so easy to take in. So when you go and buy it at a store and it's bottled already and it's sitting on the shelf, they have to do something to it to keep it alive or keep it, quote, fresh. So you're not actually getting complete food there, because they have to do something in order, you know, to preserve it, unless you go to a juice bar and they're actually juicing the juice and you drink it right away.
Mm-hmm.
But any good juice should be bad within 24 hours because it actually breaks itself down. So I either make my own or I go to a place that actually juices the juice, you know, for me. I know we're lucky in Southern California. There's a lot of places we can go where there are fresh juice bars. So, you know, that's always the best thing to do. And wheatgrass juice, it's not my favorite, but it's very good for the liver. So if you've been out and you've had a couple drinks too many the night before, getting some wheatgrass juice in you will really help kind of get that liver moving.
Very cool. And, you know, one of the things, and I've done green drink in the past, and
yeah.
The first time that I tasted it, I was expecting it to be really absolutely the most disgusting thing that I've ever tasted ever.
Right.
It was actually quite refreshing. And as I got my own recipe going, and it was like the same thing, kale, Swiss chard, spinach, cucumber, apple, celery, you know, and you get some things like that in there. It tasted green for sure, but it tasted
mm-hmm.
fresh and it tasted clean, and it wasn't anything that, you know, you sit here and drink it. You were kind of gagging on it. It was like, I'll have a 32-ounce glass of this, please. Let me, you know, just get it up in the Vitamix and let me go. It was absolutely delicious, and I haven't been doing green drink for a little bit of time because I got lazy, but I love green drink, and any chance I go and get the vegetables and that type of stuff and make it, it's absolutely wonderful. So I'm glad that you're on telling us about that, because I needed that reminder.
Yeah, and the thing is, a lot of people, if you're not used to that, you might want to water down a juice, because it is very potent. And for a lot of people, they can't stand the taste, or they're not used to the taste, and so it just takes, you know, some getting used to. But, like, for me, I can't put sugary stuff in my mouth, because I don't eat a lot of sugar. Like, honey is a great sugar. If you're going to do sugar, do honey, because the actual honey, if you do not utilize it, your body, you'll just poop it out. So you don't turn it into fat in your body. So honey is a great sugar, and also it has a lot of other nutrients with it. So it's good for your body as opposed to taking from your body.
Well, and I think anything that you can do to lessen the impact of, you know, what you're doing is always a great thing. And not to go back and talk green drink, but I always had mine in the morning. And one of the things that I really liked about it, because I could have a big, big glass of it and not feel guilty, I also didn't feel the need to snack at all during the morning. And so the first meal that I would have would be, you know, lunch. And
right.
So I could have my green drink at 6 a.m. or whatever time it was. I would be totally fine all morning long until it was time for me to have lunch 6-7 hours later, and I was great. And then, you know, if I wanted something during the mid-morning, I would be having, you know, my lemon water or green tea or something like that, and that was
right.
was terrific. So I love the fact that it was also serving a dual purpose of letting me not feel compelled that I need to cheat. I need a donut, or I need a this, or I need a that. I didn't have any of those cravings, because I think that green drink did something inside of me that just really prevented all of that from coming to the forefront.
Yeah, and that's a really great point, and most people don't realize this. So, you know, a lot of obese people out there, they are starving. They are not getting nutrition in their body. When your body has the right nutrition in it, you do not have cravings. So, you know, like you said, you wouldn't want lunch, and, you know, you're not craving a donut or that kind of a thing because you're nutritionally satisfied. I do juice cleanses myself where I'll do, you know, people think you're crazy. Oh, how can you survive on juice? Well, you actually get more nutrition if you're just drinking juice. If, you know, because you're not going to eat 30 carrots a day and have 10 apples and, you know, so you get a ton of nutrition in your body. And what happens is, like, when you're on a cleanse, when you're doing juicing, when your body utilizes up that nutrition, then you crave food again, you get hungry. But if you don't, you know, if you have the nutrition in your body, you're not hungry. So I'll be on as long as I'm drinking my juice throughout the day, I don't get hungry. It's like, oh, you can starve, you blah 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 blah. They don't know. They've never done it. But you know,
That's true.
It's true. And you know, there's different theories of thought. I don't like to eat in the morning. And, you know, if you look at people who talk about juicing and cleansing, they say the body goes through a natural detoxification process between 12 at night and 12 the next day. And so in the morning, their theory is that you should eat lightly. Now, I think you should do what seems right to your body and listen to your body. So for me, I have attempted many a time to eat in the morning, and all it does, I feel, slow me down, and I feel sluggish. So getting, a lot of people need protein in the morning. I don't. But if I get good juice in me, I feel good, and I'm fine until 12 or 1 where I want food. So I think really you have to start paying attention to what your body's telling you. And unfortunately, most people are so toxic, their bodies are not talking. It's the bugs and all the other things that's inside them that are actually mm-hmm. craving things. And you don't really realize it until you start cleaning yourself out and start making healthier choices, like, oh, yeah, no, this is better for me. And I can, you know, I feel more energetic after putting this in my body, and this, you know, really slowed me down. Like, a lot of people don't realize, like, I call it a food hangover. Like, what did you eat the day before? When you wake up and you're sluggish uh-huh. and you're slow, or your fingers are swollen or you're puffy, like, what did you eat the day before? Because chances are you're allergic to it, or you have a sensitivity to it. And, you know, just because you think it's good for you, it doesn't mean it's good for you, because everybody's body's different. So paying attention to what actually enhances your body and takes from your body, you know, you have to start paying attention to that. But when you become aware, then you actually start to know, okay, well, this would be good for me, as opposed to, you know, something else that would not be good for you.
Well, let's jump back into some wellness stuff here that
okay.
I think people will love to hear about, because I'm going to ask you to go back and talk about what you've just talked about at the end of the program with the Zyto screenings that you do at your center. And I know that you're going to be doing something special on Saturday, October 25th, which I'm going to ask you to talk about as well. So before we get to that, so as we're getting ready to go into the winter and make
yep.
bad food choices and drink like a fish and not get enough rest and, you know, buy more than we should do, what are some things that people can do to help improve their lot in life over the next 3 months?
Okay, well, I would say get educated on the flu shot, for sure. So I'm going to give you a few things about, tell you about the flu shot, because I think you have other choices other than getting the shot. So as far as the flu goes, what people don't understand is that when they prepare the vaccinations for that, they have to prepare it a year in advance. Now, we know the virus morphs and changes every year. So they guess at what's coming for next year, which, when you just think about that logically, it's a little crazy, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So what's happening now with the vaccination, with the flu vaccination, is they're putting, I believe it's a quadrivalent shot now, which means they're putting four different viruses into that shot. And they use a lot of aluminum. They use different things to actually to preserve the shot. So you're injecting high amounts of heavy metals into your body, in addition to four different viruses. And that's not how the body works. So when we get sick naturally, quote naturally, vaccinations came from homeopathy many years ago. And the whole theory behind it is if you put a little poison in the body will develop an immunity to it, develop antibodies, and then you get a resistance to it. Well, if I throw four things at the body, what's it supposed to do? What's it supposed to handle? Because that's not how it works. Then what can happen is your whole system can get overwhelmed and you crash. And so, you know, the trivalent, the quadvalent, like that is a little bit scary to me because the body doesn't know what to do and you can actually crash your immune system with that. So now we got sugar, now we're injecting heavy metals into our body because of the preservatives and the vaccination, and then we're injecting four different viruses, you know, and so what's the body going to do? Typically it crashes. My grandmother almost died from a flu shot.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I personally won't have one, but, you know, again, I think people have to get educated of what's in it and what are the odds or what are the statistics if I actually have one as opposed to not having one. And
so
I've heard that many times from my patients that they get very sick from the shot. Not everybody. If you have a really strong immune system, you know, you'd probably be fine, but many, many people get really sick.
So, there, you know, the myths that are out there, I say myths, here I am. I am not a doctor, but I play one on TV. Okay,
yeah.
So there's like a list of things out there for people who should have a flu shot. This is like if you're 65 or over, if you're pregnant, if you're in a group setting, you know, like a home for wayward girls, or you're in a, you know, assisted care type of a thing, if you're a healthcare worker, that type of stuff, if you don't have your flu shot, you have to wear a mask. If you're helping patients in the hospital, things like that. What do you think about those types of statements that are out there?
I think it's a lot of fear. Personally, I think it's a lot of fear, and they play on our fear. The flu vaccination, there's vaccinations. A lot of doctors won't vaccinate their children because they see the side effects
they
coming
know.
In as far as
yeah.
what, you know, what causes it. I think that when I can remember when the flu shot originally came out and they said, if you're immunocompromised, if you're elderly or a child, you should not have it. And then suddenly that changed and they said, if you're immunocompromised, a child or elderly, you should have it. So I don't know, you know, why that changed. I have no idea. And now they're kind of going back on that. Well, if you have a weakened immune system, you may want to be careful with that kind of a thing. I mean, I think basic sanitation, washing your hands, don't touch your eyeballs. Like, what are the ways you're going to get these viruses into your body? They can go in through the ears. They can go in through the eyes, the nose. Vodka is an antiseptic. So one of the things that I will actually do, because I'm exposed to people all day, is that if someone comes in and they've been ill, I'll make them put on a mask, or I'll put on a mask, or I'll also spray. I put vodka in a spray bottle, and I'll spray down my head to kill off anything that I may have come in contact with.
Wow.
And I'm constantly washing my hands.
What do you think about like the antibacterial hand wash and, you know, all the like the Clorox wipes and all of that? Do you think there's a point where some of that is too much and it ends up being kind of the counterbalance to just like good common sense of washing your hands?
Yeah, I mean, that stuff scares me a little bit. Your skin is your largest organ of elimination and your largest organ of absorption. So I am just very fearful of anything, you know, chemical. You know, I don't want to be putting in a bunch of stuff because that's absorbing into my skin and now my liver has to process it. I just think washing your hands properly and making sure you're using a good soap, but not, you know, again, I and those antibacterial type things, I mean, I think it's you know, it's good as far as, like, if you're constantly around, you know, children, or, you know, you're going to need to do certain things, you know, people that are sick or whatever it is. But I think there's a lot of isopropyl alcohol in those different antibacterials, and that is very toxic for the body.
Really?
So, yeah. Isopropyl alcohol actually helps, I believe it helps promote the growth of parasites, worms, and those.
Okay,
so,
that's just gross.
Yeah. But again, you know, vodka is a natural antiseptic. So I, you know, I'll just spray it around my body and just mist it over and, you know, let that settle down. And one of the things I'll do as well is, if I feel a head cold coming on, what I do is I'll put hydrogen peroxide in my ears.
Really? I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, no,
okay.
There's so many natural things you can do.
Well, okay, let's make a list. What else do we need? I've never heard hydrogen peroxide in the ears if you think you're getting a cold.
Yeah, just a little capful in the ear and just lie there and let it bubble up, and especially like head cold, sinus stuff.
Yeah,
and also,
okay.
You know, hydrogen peroxide in the mouth. I mean, the mouth is the number one way into the system. So a lot of bacteria grow underneath the gums. And hydrogen peroxide helps kill that stuff off. So if you're brushing with hydrogen peroxide, that helps to kill that. And that bacteria is the one that goes to the heart as well and creates trouble, heart disease. So, you know, killing that off in the mouth, just, you know, either brushing with it or swishing it around. Using, you know, flossing is really important. That's a good way to, you know, get the bacteria out. You know, water pick, whatever
the
that
water
is.
Pick. I have one. I use mine all the time, but
yeah. Very, very good for cleaning the mouth.
So, okay. Question to follow up on this. What about the toothpaste that say they have like hydrogen peroxide in there for like whitening? Is that the same thing as just getting a 99-cent bottle of hydrogen peroxide and swishing it around in your mouth?
No, it's not. Swishing it around directly like that is going to be probably more effective. And there's, you know, there's different grades of hydrogen peroxide, but, you know, just going to a drugstore and getting that is effective.
Right on. Okay, so we're going to gargle with hydrogen peroxide every once in a while. What else should we do this cold and flu season?
Oil of oregano under the tongue. Fastest
cool.
way into the bloodstream is under the tongue. So oil of oregano, getting that under the tongue, you can put that in water and, you know, gargle with it and get it to the back of the throat, very effective, especially if you're feeling like the tonsils.
Okay.
And then, you know,
I'm making my shopping list, you know that.
Yeah, and to getting the kind of shocking the system a little bit if you're feeling not very good, hot shower, cold shower, hot and cold, doing that 3 times kind of stimulates the immune system.
Okay,
you know,
I like that.
Yeah.
Okay, and let's see here.
And getting your nerve, this is number one always, having your nervous system working properly, always.
Okay, well, what a great segue into your special that you are having on October 25th.
Yeah, so what we're doing, I do it once a year, and it's the initial, we do the Zyto scan where we look at the vertebrae and the discs and then, you know, consult with me. Go over your history, do an examination, and then if need be, x-rays. You know, normally that's $345, and we do a day that's absolutely no charge for new patients. It's our friends and family thing. Our patients love it because they get an opportunity, you know, they're happy with what's going on with their bodies, and they get an opportunity. They've been talking about it to people, and so they get an opportunity to tell their friends and family, and they get to come and experience, and we see if we can help them. And if we can, we tell them. If we can't, we tell them that as well. But it's a nice opportunity for people to come in. We cannot offer it to Medicare patients because by law we're not allowed to offer any specials to Medicare patients. So unfortunately, if it's someone that's older, we can't do that for them. But anybody else, it's great, too, because I take care of a lot of families. So it's a good opportunity for parents to bring in their kids and get them checked. You know, I take care of a lot of kids that they come in with different issues. I mean, I don't address the issues directly. What we do is we get their body working properly so that the issues go away, you know, on their own.
Well, you shared a story recently with me about a young patient that you had that, you know, you were able to make some, I think, some adjustments dietarily and you know, with the upper cervical care that you do. And you said things that were happening from a behavioral standpoint just basically went away overnight.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, parents think that they're, you know, I mean, obviously there's a lot of different things going on with children nowadays, but a lot of times what it comes down to is what happens is a lot of kids are C-section nowadays, and that's extremely traumatic on a baby's head or neck. They're like whipped out by their head and neck. And so that's where the misalignment can start, and there's shutdown in the nervous system right there. And so from the get-go, they're already compromised. So your nervous system controls your immune system, right? And so I see a lot of kids, and they have, you know, learning disorders. They have had their colicky when they're real little, you know, reflux, all kinds of different things that, you know, the parents don't think they're related, and they're related, constipation, you know, all kinds of different things with the little ones. And, you know, kids are so easy because their bodies are so young and fresh and ready to heal. You know, when you've been, like, sick for 80 years, okay, there's a little bit bigger runway. But kids, it's immediate. And I just love it because you just see the change. It's like turning on a switch and boom, it starts to work. And so, you know, I just have such great joy with that, to see that with children. And then they don't have to, you know, that's a thing that, you know, a child should never be ready for, you know, the junior strength Tylenol or whatever it is. I don't think that that's the way it is. Your children shouldn't have headaches. They shouldn't have digestive issues. They shouldn't have ear infections, you know. And, you know, some of those things are just they're just easy fixes. It's not a big deal, but, you know, we make it a big deal. You just have to understand what's going on with them.
And I think that is one of the things that I have enjoyed in the past couple of months, learning not only about myself but about how you treat your patients and how, you know, you look at getting neck and spine in alignment and then taking care of, you know, everything else that's going on inside of a body. It's such a different approach to going into, you know, the traditional Western medical doctor and saying, okay, I've got a hangnail. Okay, we need to, you know, do this and that and the other thing, and don't forget your prescription on the way out, because that to me just... And I think that we talked about this the last time you were on it. It's just how the doctors are trained. They're not trained to really try to fix you, preventatively. They're trying to put a Band-Aid on something and hope it goes away.
Yeah. I honor the body, and I honor what God created. And so I just look at myself as a servant to what do I need to do to free that body up or give it what it needs or take out what may be causing it to be sick, as opposed to I'm going to come in with force or I'm going to overwhelm it or do those kinds of things, because we're designed to heal. Our bodies are designed to work perfectly. And, you know, I really honor that. And I'm always marveled at the way it can heal. I think I might have told you about that young boy that came in. He was hit by a car and he had... He was spastic on the right side of his body. So he was hit at age 6, and I saw him at age 16. And he came in with a brace on his leg, half of his body, you know, he had he had a brace, and then his whole arm was spastic, and it wasn't growing on the right side. And they said he had, you know, severe brain damage and blah, blah, blah. And he's, you know, this is live like this, right? And they'd been, you know, 10 years of going to different people and doing different things. And we corrected him. He had such an impact from the accident. We corrected him. His arm dropped down on that first visit for the first time in 10 years.
Whoa.
And what happened over a course of 6 months, yeah, his right side of his body started filling out because he came in and he had a discrepancy between his 2 feet. I can't remember his 2 or 4 shoe sizes difference because he was so shut down on the right side. And that brace ended up coming off. He plays basketball. He became much more alert mentally. He still had brain damage, but his ability to communicate increased tremendously, you know, and everybody written him off, and it was, you know, it was that he was so shut down from the trauma that his body couldn't heal on that side. And we opened that up, and boom, I opened him up, but I didn't do anything as far as, I didn't grow his foot.
Right.
His body did that, you know? And that's just like, that just brings me so much joy to see that happen with people. And I get to see it day in and day out. So, you know, it's amazing.
What an awesome, awesome opportunity you have to have help people. This is actually where we're going to end up wrapping up the show tonight because, believe it or not, we've been on the air for almost an hour. So I just want to give a real quick plug to your website. On the show page right there tonight, if you're listening to the show either live or on demand, you can also visit Dr. Shannon Connor's webpage. I've put the hyperlink there. Just click that. You can also like her Facebook fan page so you can stay abreast of all the information that's going on there. Or if you want to call and schedule your first appointment with Dr. Shannon Connor, you can call her office at 949-642-5660 and schedule that. And, of course, don't forget her Saturday, October 25th special. It's for Friends and Family Appreciation Day, but it's by appointment because, guess what, it fills up fast. So you've got to call her office and put yourself on the books, and that'll be coming up in just a couple of weeks. So you want to make sure you do that. Again, 949-642-5660 is her office number. Any last words of wisdom that you'd like to leave the listeners with tonight?
You know, I would just say, you know, for the holidays, really, enzymes, I forgot to mention enzymes, but, you know, you're going to do a heavy meal, take enzymes, it helps to break down your food. There's nothing wrong with overdoing it occasionally. Just, you know, modification. Buddha said the power's in the middle path, and I just think it's so true. If we can just, you know, we're the culture of big, bad, more. If we can just stay in that middle path and just think about that for the holidays and have a good time, you know, a couple of days or nights or whatever, but not for 6 to 8 weeks, because the cleanup in January is that much more painful. And typically what happens is that people just keep putting on weight. They don't take it off, or, you know, they take off 10 and put on 15, you know. And it's just—it's all about moderation. But, you know, and again, if God or Mother Nature did not provide it for you, don't put it in your body. So find things that are natural that you can do, because you're better off with that, because your body will handle it much better.
There we go. Everybody, we'll be back live tomorrow afternoon from 4 to 6 with Dan Ostiak and his daughter, Adara. They are the group Siren. And in the meantime, have a great night. Don't drink and drive. Don't text and drive. Don't drive distracted. And we'll see you live tomorrow night.
You've been listening to
Rated G Radio.